Hello and welcome to Transformative Taskmaster, the podcast by fans, for fans, and about fans. This week, TK is talking with the creator of the unofficial Taskmaster treasure hunt, Nathan Show. It's a bit inside baseball this week, but it's not terribly spoilery, so you can still give it a go just for the hell of it.
Hello, Nathan, and welcome to the Transformative Taskmaster podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, very excited to have you here. So I want to give you a little bit of background on how I found you. So I was at, I think, summer camp, or maybe it was a little bit before summer camp in Michigan, and somebody sent over a link to the unofficial Taskmaster treasure hunt number 2. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but it sounds like a lot of fun. So I went and downloaded it, and it starts with a word search, and I won't give any spoilers, but basically the word search is only the beginning to this very fun treasure hunt. And so then I spent the next like 3 weeks literally doing it so often that I had dreams about it. I would wake up being like, oh, was that the answer to this thing? And it was very, very fun. So I'd first like to ask you, we'll just start at the beginning. How did you get into Taskmaster in the first place?
So I got on board around, at Series 5. I think I saw it advertised on a train or in a supplement in a newspaper, I think, and thought, oh, intriguing, and instantly loved it. I think that was a classic lineup as well. So maybe I'm biased because it's my favourite series, but I think Series 5 was a great lineup, really good balance. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was my gateway.
Nice. And then did you just kind of watch it live from there on out? As they came out? Yeah. Nice.
So, yes. And there was maybe one or two series that were on Dave, the channel over here in the UK, where they would let you watch the next episode online once the live one had gone out, which was just insane. Like for the first week it was great because second one online, but then it was just weird. I was just like, everyone must have just been a week ahead as they were watching it through the website and not on the television. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I managed to get to a few recordings as well over the years.
Well, that's very fun.
The first champion of champions and yeah, maybe 5 more since then.
Nice. That's awesome. Living in America, I'm very jealous of this ability to go to studio records. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So you have your own website. It's nathan.show, S-H-O-W. And on your homepage, you have a few links to things. And the top link says Taskmaster Book Tasks, in which you kind of catalog your run through of all of the, was it the first tasks, like official Taskmaster book that came out that was written by Alex?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about that, because I don't have the book. So I don't know what's in it or anything like that.
So I think it was 200 tasks when it first came out as hardback, and then there were 20 prize tasks listed. And it was supposed to be stuff for people to do with their friends. But some of it sort of encouraged Mark's and Alex said, share your attempts on Twitter. And, you know, I'll mark them once a month and go through them all and give them all points. I took it upon myself to do every task in the book. And nice. Then the paperback came out and had 20 extra tasks in it. And I wanted to do all of the prize tasks as well. Mm-hmm. And I was going through something in my personal life at the time, and I was sort of stuck. So it was a great outlet to just sort of hide from life and have something to focus on, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
And yeah, it took about maybe 9 months, maybe a year. And it came with the title Global Taskmaster Challenge, Global Taskmaster Champion, which, nice. You know, for me was just like, yeah, I want to do this.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds like really a lot of fun. And I can definitely relate to the taking your mind off of real life stuff and just delving into this world of Taskmaster puzzles, more or less, because that's pretty much what your what your treasure hunt did for me. I was like completely, it would be like 5 hours would go by and I'm like, surely that's not the time. I was like, I've only been doing this for 20 minutes. It was so fun.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. It's such a nice thing to hear that I was able to do for you what had been done for me by Alex. That's lovely.
Yeah, it was really cool. So there was, now I only heard about the second unofficial Taskmaster treasure hunt, and it looks like there was a first unofficial Taskmaster treasure hunt. So tell me about that one, because when I click on the link on the website, neither of the links work anymore. So maybe it's outdated. Like, I don't know the timeline either or anything like that, but tell me
I better revisit that.
Yeah.
And see why they don't work. But I think there are parts of it that don't work as well anyway. So, so Alex's second Taskmaster related book was Bring Me the Head of the Taskmaster, where it was like Kit Williams, I think his name was, a guy in the 1970s, an artist, made a filigree rabbit piece of artwork and then buried it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Alex referenced it in his book and said, like, it's, you know, sort of a similar sort of thing when he hid a silver head somewhere, and everyone was clamoring to find it, and you know, his hunt sort of took lots of different twists and turns through various media. Masquerade, thank you. Yes, Morgan's just put in the chat Masquerade. Thank you so much. So it was Alex's version of Masquerade. And as I was participating in it, sadly I didn't win that one, I had sort of lots of spin-off ideas of, oh, wouldn't it have been cool if that had happened? Or wouldn't it have been great if he'd taken it to there? Obviously, the real hunt was amazing, despite my not winning it. But then at the end of it, I thought, okay, I feel like I've got enough stuff here where I could do my own version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun for me just to make it. So for people to actually do it, and we sold it through the Taskmaster website and raised money for charity with it, was just like, oh, you know, I had enough fun making this, but for people to be paying money to a charity and mm-hmm. then maybe hopefully enjoying it themselves. That's brilliant. I've hid things in Google Maps and on Google Earth and Street View and on eBay and in various review sites. But yeah, I think some of them got taken down. I think my eBay listing might have got taken down because I had a picture of Alex as an NFT, a non-fungible token.
Yeah.
Selling it for £1,978 or something related to a year or something. And I think someone cried foul on it and it got taken down. Mm. And yeah, someone got in touch actually because they did the second unofficial hunt and said, oh, I got stuck right near the end of the first one. Where should I have gone from here? And mm-hmm. I couldn't remember. So going back in, it was like having to do my own hunt. And
right.
I think, yeah, bits have been deleted or removed. So, but yeah, for my own link to not work. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you mean the link to, that would have been the link to sell it on the Taskmaster website. So I think they took it down when the new one came out to avoid confusion.
Yes. Yeah. If you click through to the first unofficial Taskmaster treasure hunt. It says download your copy from the Taskmaster store here. That link just goes to the Taskmaster store, but like you said, the book is no longer there. And then there's another link that says you can check your answers and their correct order here, and it goes to a like no longer existing WordPress page.
Oh, yes, I remember. Yes. Yeah, I think I had to pay the business rate of WordPress to have a quiz. So yeah, I did a multiple choice quiz so people could check their answers but not figure out what the actual answers were unless they had some information already. So yeah, maybe I'll upload the original one and just put it on that. In fact, I'm going to do that. I'll upload the original one and put it on that page.
Perfect.
And then people will be like, oh no, this link's broken. I don't know where it's supposed to go after the third thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's the danger of doing something online, is that things are always going to change around. But yeah, maybe you could make it a task to find all the things that are missing now.
Oh my lord. Well, I struggled having set the quiz to find some of the things recently. So, I wouldn't want to put anyone through that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
And then that leads us on to the second one. So at the end of the first one, I really enjoyed sort of using What Three Words. And then that sort of formed the spine of the second one, as you well know. 13th finisher, congratulations.
Woo!
So yeah, that just felt like another thing that I felt like I wanted to play with. And again, it was a real joy that other people were quite happy to give some money to charity and wanted to join in as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was definitely a lot of fun. Because you can print it out. There's a printable version. And then there's also a Google Sheets or Excel version. So I just printed it out because I knew I was going to camp and my very old laptop does not support me loading a bunch of pages at once. It's just like a big old crumpled mess with lots of lines through it and highlighters and stuff like that. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. So how much time between the official treasure hunt and the first unofficial treasure hunt had taken place, and then also same question between the next two?
Cool. I would guess I can't remember when the official one came out. I've got a feeling it might have been maybe in May to coincide with the series. And I guess it probably took about maybe a year. I would guess maybe 15 to 18 months for my first one since Alex's book. And then maybe a year to 18 months for my second one, I think, between the first and the second one.
Lots of work.
Yeah, but really enjoyable. But
yeah,
like you said about things changing online, things changed within what three words as a result of things changing in the real world, which was really frustrating.
Yeah.
So I did it, and then it took a few months for the team at Taskmaster to before they wanted to release it. So I had to recheck it a couple of times, and a couple of times I had to make big changes because stuff had just evaporated from Google Maps. And so much so, something's disappeared now, and I think I've had to leave a note on the website saying, if you're looking for this bit, it's not there.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely ran into that because eventually what I did was I made a spreadsheet of the word search. It's this whole thing. And then I basically typed out all the answers that I had, which I probably could have just asked you for the Excel version and saved myself a lot of time. But I wanted to like triple check my work. And yeah, there's at least one place where I had an answer and I for sure knew it was an answer. But I was stuck on it because it wasn't giving me like the next step correctly. And then if you download the second treasure hunt and you start doing it, there's like an email you can reach out to if you get stuck. And then there's like an automatic reply that will come to you and it'll say, you know, oh, go to this webpage for some additional hints or help or whatever. And there's, so the place that I had found, it was like, if you're stuck on this place, it's actually this word instead. And I was like, I know exactly where that goes. So that was actually really helpful. But yeah, frustrating that they change so fast, even in the span of a few months. But I still had a lot of fun.
And I didn't realize either that iOS sort of gives different things in the Web3 Worlds website than Google does. Or so depending on which operating system you're on, sort of Web3 Worlds, I think, sort of sucks up the maps from your operating system. And so where they differ slightly, that also caused a bit of consternation along the way, which I didn't realize beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not something I would have thought of either, because I was on Android, and so looking at the, hey, you should use iMaps or whatever it's called, Apple Maps, I was like, okay, that actually helped a lot. There were definitely four or five, like, answers that I found from that that I wouldn't have found otherwise. So, yeah, that...
I'm so sorry.
Well, it's one of those things that you can't really predict is going to happen, and then you just kind of have to roll with the punches as they come.
Yeah.
But
the frustrating thing was, I thought I'd tested it to within an inch of its life, mm-hmm. and yeah.
Yep.
If you make something idiot-proof, then a bigger idiot comes in. And I think I was the idiot that came along. So frustrating.
Yeah. It's almost like how I imagine some live tasks in Taskmaster go in the studio, where you think the team triple checks everything and then somebody just wins it. And they're like, well, now we have like 8 more bowls of stuff that we could shove this electric toothbrush into, but I guess we don't have to do that now. So yeah. It's like, well, that sucks.
I saw one of those that was the reverse. One of the studio things I saw, they had whiteboards, and they had to write on the whiteboards, but they'd been given permanent markers instead of whiteboard markers.
I've heard of this.
So they went to wipe off the whiteboards and couldn't. So,
oh, man.
Yeah.
What a mess.
So it's good to know, like, even the top people are flawed sometimes, like make it minor errors sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. So let's go back and talk about the original treasure hunt that Alex wrote. So it was called Bring Me the Head of the Taskmaster, I think. And it's an interesting book to talk about now, because, and again, I don't have it or anything, but you can still get it from places, but like the main kind of hype around it is gone, more or less, because it's finished, in air quotes, because it was basically like this book came out, there was a physical Greg Davis head that was buried somewhere, like in the world, and the answers that you would get from the book would eventually lead you to this place, and whoever got there first, I guess, was the winner. From what I have been able to tell, this was like this huge thing that happened, and there were like video chats with Alex and like lots of secret stuff. So tell me about like how did that book work? Because again, you can still like have it today and like do the hunt, but you're not gonna like get anything because it's already been gotten, more or less. But tell me about your experience with that.
So yeah, I think there were also tasks in that book, but having completed the first book with all of the tasks in that, I didn't do them. And there were sort of several chunks of the book where there was sort of cryptic writing and Alex saying that he enjoyed the number 2 and things like that. So there were sort of clues that were funneling you towards things. And then there was a grid at the back and there were questions to answer. It's all coming flooding back now. And you would answer the questions, and the second letter from each word you would put into this 10x10 grid. And then there were words within the grid and there were things within the grid, which is where I got the idea for my first treasure hunt, because I thought, oh, well, what happens if you move the grid somehow? And what happens if you flip it over or sort of twist it or use a stencil over the top of this grid to see different specific letters? But Alex's one had this grid and you found a message within the grid and then it sort of kicked off from there. And then there were lots of different elements that needed his interaction. And there were lots of time locks to let people all catch up to each other. But I think there was one bit where you had to take a photo with an egg or some bread or something. And there was another bit where he sent a picture through the post, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. And then you had to figure out from this picture what the clue was to get onto the next. But he would give clues on Twitter because some of them were really cryptic and difficult. And then, as you say, yeah, there were some catch-ups on Zoom as well for people to ask questions. But it was a lot more involved than mine, a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the prize was 100,000 million times better.
I don't know. Having my name up on a website is pretty cool. yeah, I mean, it makes you really wonder, how much time does this man have? Because he must be a time traveler. I'm positive. Like, how does he have the time to do his band and his show and like, it's nuts.
And see his family and think up new ideas for the show. And...
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah.
So you said you didn't like win. Was there only one winner for the original treasure hunt?
Yeah. So, and, I think I was in the top 100 because the top 100 people got a jigsaw piece.
Oh, cool.
So he made a jigsaw and then he sent one piece to each of the top 100 people. And savagely, the people like who were first and second, as it were, into the final heat, both got taken somewhere near a field where the head was, and just... the two of them like knew they had a 50-50 shot of finding it or not, which, you know, like to be a run, like I'd imagine it was a great experience for the runner up, but to know that you'd been that close must have been like,
wow.
Devastating.
Yeah. That's wild. So how did it work? Like, were there like elimination rounds or something? Like, how did they get to the, it was it just like the first two people to do something or reach out to Alex, and then they had kind of like a scheduled event or something?
Yeah, I think it was the first two people across the line for one. So there were sort of blocks of time where there would be a puzzle, say the picture that he sent out, and then people would have like, people would complete it, and then after a month or so many weeks or whatever, he would sort of give out clues periodically. And if people hadn't got through that chunk of it, the hunt just moved on to the next thing.
Okay.
So you sort of got left behind if you didn't manage to solve things in time. But then I think when it got to the end, it was the first two people that gave him the correct answer for whatever that penultimate chunk was, and then he found somewhere sort of equidistant between the two of them. So I think there were still bits of the hunt where they were just sort of making it up as they went along, and I think it was Dan Telfer, one of his editors, who sort of was quite heavily involved in it with him. And so I absolutely tore that book apart. At one stage I was writing out every letter from every page in a 10x10 grid, and I found a little Easter egg in one of them.
Oh, really?
I think it said Pussycat or something. And there was a bit that referred to the owl and the pussycat in a different clue. And I don't know whether it was just an Easter egg or whether it was a direction he was going to take it in but changed his mind.
Mm.
Because I think he was shocked by how many people sort of got involved. And I think it might have taken a right turn at a certain point because, yeah, it felt like they were making it up on the fly at some point.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll never know.
Right. I mean, it seems like such a lot to keep track of. Like, because you were saying, even with your stuff, you're like, I couldn't go back and do my first one again. Like, I don't know anything about what I did.
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta really keep track of, like, every single thing. I think that's kind of why I made my spreadsheet for the unofficial treasure hunt part two, because I had printed out the physical paper and I had marked it up so much that I could not read it anymore. And I was like, I just need to do this online so that I can like control F and just search for the word that I need. And even then there were a bunch of words. So like it starts off with a word search, which is massive. It's like 40 by 40. And there were a couple that I remember specifically that at some point, so like you answer a bunch of questions, like 270 something, 74 questions. It's something like that.
Whatever 81 times 3 is.
Yeah. 81 times 3 equals 273.
Three.
Yeah, sure. I'm not
Hang on. Anyway, whatever 81 times 3 is.
Oh, 243. I don't know where I got the 7 from. But so 243 questions. And so basically, I think you can pretty much do it in whatever order you want. But it makes the most sense to go through the questions, try to answer them, and then match it up to the word search. So I went through like all 243 questions and like without looking anything up, just off the top of my head, I probably could answer like a dozen or something. It was like, because I kept double guessing myself too. And so then what I did was I went to the word search and just looked for words and was like, okay, if I can find a long word, that's probably going to be in here. But then there's something like obviously spoilers for the word search, but one of the words is cheerleaders. And I found leader, and I was like, perfect, circle leader. That's great. And then I found cheerleader, and I was like, oh, I guess I can just go further down. Okay. And then I was like, oh, but this S doesn't make sense here. Like, I don't need this S. And then I was like, oh, it's cheerleaders. So it took me forever to figure out cheerleaders. And then there's another one where I had gotten, it was like this kind of a similar thing where I had found what I thought was a word, but it wasn't. And so one of the letters was like one letter off of what it actually needed to be. And so I ended up with Rancho Man. And I was like, I don't know what Rancho Man is. It's like, no, that's the wrong sequence of letters. And I was like, but like to the very end, I had like three words that were in the word search that I could not find them as the answer to one of the questions. I'm like, what's a Rancho Man? I'm not sure. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I figured out what it was and I was like, well, that makes a lot more sense. It was so funny. But yeah, so, I mean, very...
Rancho Man sounds like it could be a Tim Vine character.
It really does, honestly. I was like, is there some... like, because, you know, there's, like... yeah. There's some differences between, you know, British and American-isms. And, like, so this particular answer that I was trying to find was, like, if so-and-so had his job in America, what would it be called? And I was like, Rancho Man, apparently. But like, that's obviously not a thing. But that was so frustrating because I was like, is there such thing as a Rancho Man in America? I don't know. I've lived in America my whole life and it doesn't sound familiar, but I don't know. Maybe it's like a Gen Z thing that I don't know about. And I was just like going in circles until I figured it out. I'm like, oh my gosh. So that was fun and frustrating, but mostly fun. Okay, so back to Alex's book. So you said you made the top 100. So was that like the second to last kind of bracket of people, or were there a couple more that you didn't make it into?
No, I think it was second to last bracket. So you were either in the top two or the top 100 or like beyond.
Right. Do you know how many people participated? Like, total?
It felt like a lot.
Well, it's over 100, like I can tell you that.
Definitely over 100, yeah. And it sort of blew up a little bit on Reddit. I was trying to lone wolf it because I thought, you know, I'm the Global Taskmaster champion. I need to, like...
Yeah.
I need to try and plow my own furrow here. Right. And, but I think that there was a lot of collaboration. I probably collaborated with people at certain points when I was stuck,
mm-hmm.
I think, but I didn't have like a team. And I think there were several teams, I think there was one team that had about 20 people in it even.
It's big.
But I'd guess, over 100 people finished, but I would be surprised if it was more than 200 or 300 that finished, but goodness knows how many started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting for sure.
Thousands.
Yeah. Maybe Alex knows. Maybe I can ask him at some point.
Oh, he definitely knows.
Yeah, he's got it. Yeah.
He'd know how many books were sold as well, I'd imagine.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah. It reminds me, like the collaboration thing you were talking about reminds me when I went to New York in January because Greg and Alex came for the Series 19 premiere and they had three live tasks, and then the winners of those tasks would go up on stage for like the final thing, which ended up being the, like, Greg will read a story, and whenever he says a homophone of a color, you pop the balloon from the latest series, which I was like, I was there for that one, but like obviously different because it was people from the audience. But there was one task where the task was like Greg is going to read out a list of either like blue or pink, and we each had a card that had blue on one side and pink on the other side, and you know it was like this, I don't know, maybe 100 words long of either blue and pink and just this pattern that wasn't a pattern, it was just random. And the task specifically said, like, you're not allowed to record this as he says it because you have to memorize it and then show afterwards. And like, there's no way anybody's memorizing this 100 word blue or pink pattern of words. But it got to the point where there were a decently large group of people that were getting every single answer right. And it was like well into the pattern. It was like, you know, 40 or 50 in. And we're like, there's no way you remembered this. Like, and so Alex was like, who's cheating? And pretty much everybody raised their hand because they were like, well, you didn't say we weren't allowed to like write it down. And he's like, and we're like, no, like you couldn't record it. And so like half of the audience was against the other half of the audience because we're like, no recording means no writing it down, no recording it on your phone, you know, like no voice recording, no blah, blah, blah. And so eventually it was like every single person that was still standing like admitted to Alex that they had cheated in some way. And so then then it was really awkward because Alex was like, well, I'm not really sure what we do from here because like, how do I pick a winner? And so Greg just ended up picking this person like near the front that had gone pretty far, like by herself, and we were pretty sure wasn't cheating. So we just ended up going with her, but it was so funny because even in like a live task, it kind of went wrong, but it was really funny.
That'd be an awesome one to do as well. I'd really enjoy that one, I think.
Yeah, it was very stressful. Although
I got disqualified at a similar thing. So in the first Taskmaster book with all the tasks, one of the tasks was to turn up in Chesham on a certain date. And that was awesome. Like, you might still be able to see videos of that on Twitter and maybe even online elsewhere. And people, like, there must have been 200, minimum 200 people there that day. And then it was so much fun. He repeated it the next year, but everyone went to Chesham United's football ground, mm-hmm. and it was in there rather than in a park in mm-hmm. Chesham. And they ran some tasks there with the view of getting five people to be the final five that would do a proper Taskmaster run through. Mm-hmm. And one of the tasks was everyone had a piece of card when we were shown into the ground. And one of the tasks was whoever can get their paper aeroplane that they make with this piece of card closest to a spot on the football pitch, mm-hmm. like won a seat in the final. And it didn't say you couldn't walk onto the pitch.
Oh no.
So I jumped the barrier, walked all the way up to the spot and just dropped my plane.
Oh man.
I thought I had the perfect solution, but I got disqualified.
Aww.
Because although it didn't say you're not allowed onto the pitch, it was Alex said it was implicit. So I fell foul of trying to be too clever.
Man, that's too bad. They really have to write it down at this point. They should have learned by Richard Osman that you can't just not specifically put stuff in a task and not expect people to find loopholes. But yeah,
I think that it was better for Richard Osman.
Yeah, no, he definitely did a lot better. I keep thinking he was the winner of that series, but I don't think he was. And I haven't rewatched the earlier series in a while, but
no,
yeah, that Catherine Ryan,
Catherine Ryan,
yeah. But we had a similar thing in the New York premiere where you had to make a paper plane and then try to fly it like into Alex's open mouth as he laid down on stage, and whoever got the closest would win.
My gosh,
it was very strange, but it was also annoying because like I was on the orchestra floor, so you know, like in row K or something. So I'm at a heavy disadvantage because I don't have the height advantage from the balcony, but I also am like there's, you know, how many ever rows in front of me. So I was like, well, there's no way that my plane is going to be going anywhere near. So I think the person that ended up winning was from the balcony, I'm pretty sure. But it was still fun.
But did it say you couldn't step from your spot?
That's a good point. I'm not sure if it said
or not.
Could you
have walked up and just dropped it on him?
I feel like a mob situation would not have been ideal. I think it did say you have to stay in your seat. And I do remember Greg saying, like, it sucks for the people in the back. But, you know, whatever. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, and then the first one was one they did at the previous year's New York visit. Because they rented out, like, a 100-person venue, which they severely underestimated the amount of people that wanted to come to the venue. So they ended up packing like 200 people in it. But that task was like Alex would ask a bunch of questions and the number that you got would call like a burner phone that Greg had. So the task was like, call Greg, you know, and we're like, so he says, call Greg, fastest wins. And we're like, okay. And he's like, oh, I guess I'll help you out. And then he like starts saying question, you know, like how old am I going to be in whatever year and how tall is Greg and all this kind of stuff. But then it was confusing because we're like, yeah, well, are you using an American burner phone or like what's the area code? You know, so it was, yeah. So the first one was call Greg. The second one was, I think, the pink and blue, and then the third one was the airplane. And then the final task altogether was the people doing the puffing the balloons thing. And that was funny because, like, we've seen it done in series 19 for a live task, but they had those, the things that were used to pop the balloons. I don't know if they were ducks. I guess they would have been ducks because they were yellow and they looked weird. But there was this one guy who, like, got to take his duck pin with him, and as is American tradition at this point, shown by Jason Mantzoukas, he was like, I don't want this. I'll give it to some random person in the audience. But of course, being in America, he, like, goes to throw it, and there's this, like, huge pin on the end of it. And Alex is like, no, but it was too late. And he had thrown it into the audience. Nobody got hurt, fortunately, but Alex was like, oh my gosh, I need to not give Americans sharp things anymore. Oh my gosh.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did the phone Cool Greg one Chesham as well. And great fun. So
yeah,
how did you get tickets to the New York thing? Was it difficult to get into, and was it awesome?
So I didn't go to the very first one, but the second, so this year's one, it was a venue for 1,500 people. So it did sell out in under 2 hours. I will say that. But I have a friend group who, like, there's maybe like 100 of us in the group. Not all of us are active, but 14 of us ended up going together because we all live in different time zones. And so we were on the lookout for when the tickets would drop. So basically, like, one of us was awake when they dropped and they were like, I'm just going to buy 14 tickets. And so it ended up working out and we, like, all paid her back and stuff. So, but yeah, it was really awesome. It was, like, so much fun. I grew up in upstate New York, so, like, 4 hours away from the city. I don't really like New York City. Not really a huge fan of cities in general. And it was also so cold because it was January and it was snowing and I was miserable because I live in California now and I don't ever want to see another snowflake again in my life. But it was really cool that they came over again because I still don't think that they realize how popular they are in America. Because, like, again, it sold out in under 2 hours, and they, like, I mean, our friend group was constantly, like, walking around the city trying to run into them because we were like, we know that they'll probably go to Central Park. So we walked around Central Park, like, for hours and hours trying to run into them, and we never did. And then later they posted that picture where they had been sitting for a portrait in Central Park, and we were like, see, we told you they were going to be in Central Park. But yeah, it was really fun. And then they did a couple interview, like, we knew they were doing Seth Meyers, but none of us got in for that because there was, like, a huge wait. And then they did another interview. I don't remember with whom, but it was at the NBC Studios building. So we waited outside that building and I got to run into them, which was very exciting because I wanted to tell Alex that I was going to, like, get the Patreon thing for his horn section podcast, which no longer exists because it was such a hassle to do, I think. But it was really fun. And he was like, are you sure? Because, like, that's a lot of money. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure. So, like, once that email goes through, just know that it's not an accident. So I ended up going on the horn section podcast, and then he came on this podcast, like, really early on, which was wild. He was, like, episode 5. But he's such a sweet man. And it was a lot of fun, like, getting to meet them in person and, like, just being in the same room as them. And they're both, like, so funny and so surprisingly kind people, I guess, you know, in the world of celebrities being assholes to people. It's kind of almost hard to find people that are as genuine as those two, especially Alex. Like, Alex is the one that I've been in touch the most with, and he's been nothing but just kind. Cool. But yeah, so it's, yeah,
similar.
So, and I imagine that you've been in touch with Alex because you, or maybe it was somebody else, because your treasure hunt would have had to go through the official Taskmaster website. So was that something that you reached out to Alex for, or he reached out to you, or how did that happen?
So in that instance, I reached out to him, and he was very helpful and put me in touch with the marketing people who would then put it through their website. And they were very helpful as well, a guy called Joe. But previously, so I was mentioned in his second book because I'd won the first book. And when I completed the final task in the first book, I invited him along, and he was there, like, because that's just how kind he is.
Right.
Like, he just showed up and did the final task with me. And then for the first for my first treasure hunt book, the prize was a papier-mâché Taskmaster trophy that I made, and then the runners-up prizes were the mugs that had a picture of that trophy on it. I thought, well, try to upscale it a little bit and asked Alex to sign them, and he of course agreed because he's such a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But he invited me to the Taskmaster house so that he could sign them there.
Oh, man.
I just missed Julie and Clary.
Like,
Julian had just been doing his tasks that day.
Oh my god.
He sat me in a room with a whiteboard that had the next two series worth of contestants mapped out.
Wow.
Like when they were coming in to do their filming days. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's just left me in here with all of this information. And now I've just got to keep it to myself for two years or a year, or whatever it would have been, probably a year. But yeah, amazing. And actually, I went to his house for something as well. I can't remember what that, maybe that was to get, I can't remember. I popped to his house briefly on an occasion as well. And like, the man is just so friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, pretty wild. He's the best. Well, good times. Well, I guess I don't really have any other questions for you, but definitely update that first unofficial treasure hunt webpage so that people can check it out. And then anybody is free to go to the second unofficial one, because I'm pretty sure, I'm just going to check that these links work. Yeah, they work. All money, I think, goes to charity. It's like $7 on my page. I don't know if that's pounds or not, but $7 if you're using USD. $7.99 maybe, if for whatever. I mean, I bought it. I should know, but I don't have a good memory. But you can choose to donate more if you would like. It'll give you the PDF download to version 2 of the treasure hunt. That's through the official Taskmaster store. You can also go to nathan.show, and it'll be easily linked on the front page. And also, if you scroll down all the way to the bottom of the unofficial Taskmaster Treasure Hunt 2 page, I'm right there as number 13. Yay! I'm so excited. I was like, oh man, I'm in the Hall of Fame.
And the final finisher at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. As of recording this, there's just 13 people that have finished it. So pretty
exclusive
exciting.
Club.
Yeah, lucky number 13. Well, it's been really nice talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast and talking to us about all of the treasure hunts and all of that good stuff. We hope you've enjoyed your time, and hopefully we'll see more hunts yet to come at some point.
Oh my gosh, don't tempt me. Don't put that out there, because I will do it. Even if it's just you that's going to attempt it, TK.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's what do they say about things coming in threes, the rule of threes? So you got to do at least one more.
Okay.
At least two people we know would do it. So now you got to do it.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for that. I'm going to have to do one now.
Yeah. All right. See you in a year and a half then when that comes out.
Thank you very much for having me on the podcast. It's been a pleasure. And I'm grateful that I didn't have to make up some fanfic on the spot.
Oh, yeah. No, we only do that to Alex so far.
Phew.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
And once again, that was Nathan Show, creator of the unofficial Taskmaster Treasure Hunts. You can find the clues in the links in the episode description. This was a really short season because Taskmaster Series 20 airs this week. We'll be live streaming our episode debriefs on YouTube on Friday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Otherwise, they'll be going out to our podcast host on Tuesday as usual.